This is the Smart People Money Show. You know it's time to start getting serious about getting serious with your money, but what does that really mean? You're in the right place. We're going to talk about tips, ideas, perspectives, and thoughts you could be considering with your money. My name is Michael Anderson. I'm a certified financial planner, and I have Tom Spence with me in studio. This show is educational and for entertainment value. I do not know your situation, and I only give advice to clients, so please do not take advice from this program. If you're looking for advice, please consult a tax, legal, or financial professional. Well, today, Spence, we're going to be talking about the 12 unifying principles of personal finance. There's a mouthful. And of course, on the program, we like to talk about things that smart people do with their money and things that smart people do not do with their money. Well, today, these unifying principles, I think, are a great framework, a great picture frame, a great way to look at your own financial situation. And I'm just going to touch on these 12 quickly so we can jump into the lunchroom. So today, the 12 principles of personal finance. The first one is progress. Important to be looking at progress you're making moving forward. A lot of times we'll fall victim to thinking about the mistakes we've made, and that will hamstring us to move forward. But focus on the progress. Take a look at where you want to go and focus on the progress you're making in that direction. Unifying your spouse and yourself to make progress, that will help tremendously. Second one's discipline. A household must consistently know what they're making in income and then have their expenses be less than that income. Now, you have some control over those expenses, but sometimes the expenses are just the expenses and there's hardly enough income to cover it, and you can't cut your way there. You got to find a way to make more income. So discipline is key there, whether that means discipline with your spending or that may mean discipline with your earning and finding additional income. The third thing is future planning. Are you someone that plans for tomorrow, or are you someone that lives for today? Now, the key there is you want to have both. You can't be one or the other. Sometimes we see one spouse that's planning for tomorrow all the time, and the other spouse wants to live for today sometimes, but it's a difficult issue. So finding balance is the key there. Again, that is number three of the 12 unifying principles of personal finance. Number four, debt. Debt used wisely can help you build wealth. Notice I mentioned used wisely. There's a lot of debt out there that's bad debt. Now, we shouldn't shame it because it's not all bad, but you want to be very careful. If you're using it in the wrong way, it could really, really put you in a bad spot and ruin you financially. Number five, buffer. You got to have a buffer. You got to have an emergency fund. You got to have some money socked away for a rainy day, whatever you want to call it. You got to have some money, because one thing that is a guarantee, you will have surprises that will hit you financially. If you don't have that buffer or that emergency fund or that access to liquidity, you can be really in a bad spot. Number five is have a buffer. Number six, risk. There's a lot of risk out there. There's a lot of risk with this is why you have insurance. This is why you have types of insurance to cover you in case some event happens. So it's not that you want to eliminate any risk. It's just that you want to manage the risk or hedge the risk. So I'll leave it at that there. Number six, investing. Now, there's a lot of good thought with having long-term assets that are invested for growth. Now, you're not going to invest every dollar that you have. If you're going to be buying something in the next, 1 to 2 years or something in the short term, why would you invest that and risk having it be less than what it is today? It's only the long-term assets we want to invest, and there's lots of different types of investing. Know your strategy. Next one is taxes. A lot of things have a tax impact. What's the difference between the short-term capital gains rate and the long-term capital gains rate? Do you even know? And if you don't, you got to be careful, because there are differences to taxes. There are impacts to how you use taxes, and you want to be smart about that. Moving on, we go to giving. Giving is good for everyone. Oftentimes, the donor receives the greatest gift, but it also may reduce your taxes. There's strategies you can employ there as well, but it's a good thing to have enough money to give. Next, we go to estate. Having estate planning documents in order is part of getting your financial ducks lined up in a row. You don't want to miss getting your estate documents in order, especially when you're toward maybe what people would call the golden years, but it doesn't hurt to have that ready before you reach that point. Moving on to legacy, leaving a legacy. This is the relational impact on your friends and family and community. You want to understand what your legacy is, and that's a very important part. Finally, guidance. Where do you get your guidance when it comes to money issues? Are you someone that likes to go to books Do you find articles and blogs online? Or do you take a class from the local community college or a course? Do you listen to radio programs, great ones like this one, or podcasts? And there's a number of good podcasts out there. Do you have a financial advisor? Or maybe it's a family member that you consult with to hopefully get some advice. Well, advice is important, and it's really important to have guidance. But I always feel like it's important to understand where the guidance is coming from and understand if you're taking action on the advice you're receiving, if it propels you to move forward. Well, those are the 12 unifying principles of personal finance. That's what I have written down in my book. I like to share those with each client and then hopefully have them dive into seeing where they need to do some work in the short run. I think that's a healthy approach to personal finances. Now, you can do that yourself, or you can find someone to help you. And there are a number of fee-only financial advisors that do that type of work. So if you want a copy of this program or a copy of the 12 Unifying Principles of Personal Finance, I'd be happy to send that to you. You can go ahead and send an email, support@marinantha.com. That is support@marinantha.com, MARANANTHA.com, and we will get you a copy of the 12 Unifying Principles of Personal Finance. And look at that. It's time for the lunchroom. Spence, how are things going with you today? Nice to see you.
Things are good. We got an hour back. Even though I don't like the sun to go down early, we did push the clocks up backwards as we fall back after Halloween. That happened this morning, so I hope everybody has every clock correct.
I wonder if there's an impact with the spending, like with regards to it being darker earlier. If people spend less because they're at home and they're not out doing stuff because it's darker earlier, I find myself just home sooner. When it's dark, it's time to be home.
It never gets dark on Amazon.
Well, that's a good point
little
as
click,
well.
That's a click.
Are you an Amazon click type guy? I'm not. I do use it, but I'm not nearly as frequent as my wife.
No, I'm not either, but it is a godsend on certain items because we have Amazon Prime, so we have the quick shipping. We use it often enough where we got to get something for this person or we need that. It's really, really helpful when it comes within 24 hours. It's super, super helpful. One of the examples is I love to shop locally as much as I can, but we have a person who's celebrating a birthday and they're a Detroit Red Wings fan. Figure we'll get them a nice little tchotchke. If you go to any local store, they're just not going to have that. You go to Amazon, they have 500 things from toasters to salt and pepper shakers to a set of steak knives. This is why I love Amazon. So for those cases, I use it frequently. And the other thing, which gets a little cold, you can also send the gift to that address, which is pretty cool. You know, so if you want to talk, one, you don't shop, so you don't spend time doing that. And two, you're not rapping, you're not doing anything. You're saying, yes, Amazon, do my work for me. It's kind of cool. But again, I don't go on there. I don't think I shop frivolously or too often, but boy, oh boy, does it come in handy.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's a convenience. It's a beautiful thing, the way they have it set up. And it's a great tool. Yeah, no doubt about it at all. You know, it's funny. As you're talking about that, I'm reminded of the April Fool's Day joke that one person played on their spouse where they saved all of the Amazon boxes and they had them hidden in the garage for months. And then on April Fool's, they stacked up 80 boxes out front of the house and their spouse comes home. Of course, they're freaking out that someone spent all this money on Amazon for these boxes. And, you know, it's funny because as the person in my household that's more of the plan for tomorrow type of person, that I see that and it's instantly funny, but also I'm a little upset that that would get to me. That, well, it's like, well, dang, why does that bother? Why is that funny, but also upsetting at the same time? And it's, I don't know why that is. I just want to understand the psychology of how my behavioral finance internally works in my head.
Because there's truth in comedy. You see it and you go, that's funny. You go, that's funny because it happens. Maybe not 80 boxes, but it happens. The other thing that Amazon does for the person who does not have shopping discipline is, so you buy an item, let's say, for $40. They'll say people also bought, and they have this algorithm that'll drop the next item down to like 30 and 25, which is way less. So a lot of people look at that and they go, well, how can I pass that up? That's a bargain. And they've got this great algorithm that feeds you things you probably like within that category that other people like too. So the $40 purchase at the end of the shopping cart leave is $110 because you bought item two and three that you weren't going to buy. Kind of the Costco thing with all the sampling and all the stuff in front of your face. So the disciplined shopper, whether it's at Costco, anywhere, or on Amazon, got to be careful because, like you say, in the 10 items that you have, the discipline, you know, all of those things play into this. Why am I here? I'm here for this. I'm getting out.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, it's interesting. My son was just on Amazon. It was one of his first purchases, and we got him a gift card. It was a $10 gift card after doing some, a good amount of work. He earned this $10 gift card from Amazon. I cashed in some points from a credit card, and they sent me a few $10 gift cards to Amazon, which I thought would be a nice little carrot for my son, who's 8 years old. And, of course, it was a good carrot because he is motivated by these things. I was impressed on how motivated he was to do the work we were asking him to do in response to get this award of the $10 gift card. Well, he goes on Amazon. He wants to buy a Nerf gun. And he's looking through Amazon, and we're kind of driving the computer for him, but we're scrolling, looking for different Nerf guns and things like that. And I was so intrigued. You know, here is this young whippersnapper starting his foray into online spending. And it was kind of one of those parent moments where you say, oh, this is beautiful. Well, wait a minute. This is so sad at the same time. He's just a little spendthrift. He wanted to spend, you'd think he had $1,000. He wanted to buy everything he could possibly buy. And it's funny because we need to teach these things to our children. And that's not always easy to do. You know, they always have an appetite that's bigger than my wallet.
And when you look at the habits that he will create out of shopping through this and not going to stores, I was looking at something. I got this off CNN Business News. And the way stores are operating these days, the stores that are our standard push the shopping cart through the stores, which we all go through, and they have ways of teasing you too on how to buy more than you planned on. You know, they put the things at the right eye level, and they do all those clever little situational efforts on end caps and the like at stores. Now they're coming up with dark stores. Have you heard of this?
No.
Dark store is more of a fulfillment center. It'll look just like a store, but it's not for you to go into. It's for them to pack in more inventory so the aisles don't take up all that space, and they are the ones that are going to be shipping out. Right now, 5 to 10% of the purchases for goods, grocery goods, 5 to 10% out of 100 is all that happens right now. But we can tell that is going to build. And they know it's going to build, so they're doing everything they can to get prices down. So it's just another shopping habit that we are going to develop. And mostly our kids are going to develop, even shopping for groceries on the internet. Because Webvan, quite a few years back, tried it. It failed. That doesn't mean it was bad. It just means people weren't ready for it. Because for you, if you're buying produce, do you really want somebody else to pick your? There's something about going through sorting and observing and having that visceral, touch of the items.
Yeah, good point. Very
maybe
good
not
point.
So much for the kids as they go, okay, just bring me some melons.
It depends what you're buying. I think it's certainly I like the idea of buying a locally grown watermelon as opposed to one from countries away.
You know,
it's nice to get those locally grown items as well, even though we have modern shipping that is so good. And it's very fascinating. Well, an interesting topic indeed.
Yeah. So how we spend and how we're, encouraged to spend is getting different. It's changing as we move on here. I loved your list, though, that 10 list. Discipline, boy, oh boy, is that all are equal in the 10, but man, discipline really sticks out for me.
Yeah, that's one you really have a lot of control over, but it can really take control over you if you're not careful. And it becomes increasingly more difficult when you have a family and you have a spouse and you have children and they have their own wants and perceived needs, and you have to balance that out. So tricky, so tricky. Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's program. That's all the time we have for the Smart People Money Show. You can find us on Facebook. We do have a page, The Smart People Money. Actually, it's called Smart People Money. It's not The Smart People Money Show. It's just simply Smart People Money. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.